Good afternoon. Welcome in to another edition of The Scoop here on KLGR 1490 AM, FM 95.9, and also myklgr.com. We've got a lot to get to here today. The Gopher men's basketball team had their season come to an end in the Big Ten tournament yesterday. We'll recap the game for you, plus take a look at how things are going in the Big Ten tournament so far today, plus plenty of NHL talk, as we'll welcome Pete Blackburn of CBS Sports to recap the trade deadline and talk about the possibility of hockey in Seattle. So that's all coming up on the show today, plus some comments made at the scouting combine today by Mike Zimmer and also general manager Rick Spielman that were certainly interesting, so we'll take a look at those as well. But without further ado, why don't we get right to our top sports headlines here for today. Taking a look at our top sports headlines for today, the Gopher men's basketball team taking part in the Big Ten tournament yesterday against Rutgers. And for the Gophers, their season comes to a close, 65-54 the final. And the Gophers finished the year 15-17. Final game of Nate Mason's career, he finished with 12 points, just 4 of 14 shooting. Jordan Murphy struggled, 11 points, 9 rebounds. Isaiah Washington, the lone bright spot for the Gophers, who, after the season started with such promise, really were never able to recover after Reggie Lynch was dismissed from the team. So on to next year for the Gophers, as they will try to put together what should be a very talented roster, but they're going to need to get some help, as the Big Ten will be as tough as ever next season. Minnesota Timberwolves on the road in Portland tonight, taking on the Trail Blazers, and a chance for the Timberwolves to see if the new-look lineup can translate to more success on the road. Wolves beat the Kings on the road in their last game, but they'll try to beat a tough Trail Blazers team on the road tonight as well. The NFL scouting combine underway in Indianapolis. Vikings have both Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman there scouting out prospects and watching various events to see who they may end up drafting in the NFL draft coming up in April. Bad news for the San Antonio Spurs as they lose another integral part of their team as LaMarcus Aldridge was forced to leave their game with an ankle injury, and now they could very likely be having to play without the likes of Kawhi Leonard and also now LaMarcus Aldridge. But knowing the Spurs, it's not going to be a problem for them. They'll still find a way, and the Timberwolves just have to keep winning to continue to put pressure on them. Plus, our final sports headline here for today: is there a possibility of Seattle fielding an expansion team in the NHL? A season ticket drive put on by prospective owners hits 25,000 deposits within the first hour of their season ticket drive, which started today. That exceeded the goal of 10,000 deposits, which was reached in the first 12 minutes. So safe to say that if approved, Seattle definitely wants an NHL team and could stand to get one in expansion for the NHL. So interesting to monitor that. We'll ask Pete Blackburn about that coming up in just a bit. But that is a look at our top sports headlines here for today. We are going to take a quick break. We'll talk with Pete Blackburn of CBS Sports when we come back after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Catch The Scoop Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Back here on The Scoop, and we're going to talk a little NHL hockey, plus plenty of other topics with our next guest. He is a writer for CBS Sports and co-host of the Listen to Brunch podcast. We're joined now by Pete Blackburn. Pete, thanks so much for joining The Scoop today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Well, the NHL trade deadline earlier this week, and it was certainly a busy one. There were a lot of teams that were looking to try to solidify their spots in the East or Western Conference standings. A couple of teams that decided to blow it up. But let's just start off with some discussion of the trade deadline. And first, let's go with maybe the biggest trade that we saw from the deadline, the one that surprised you the most.
Yeah, I mean, I think the McDonough deal to Tampa was the biggest and probably the biggest win. I really like that deal for Tampa. They load up for a run, and you know they're going for it as they should. And you know, I think that it didn't cost them too much. I mean, you obviously have to pay a fair price when you're getting a good player. They got two good players, and they still paid a pretty fair price. So I really like that deal. I also like the deal for Winnipeg bringing in Paul Stastny. I think that they got a great value there. Same thing with Pittsburgh and adding Derek Brassard. I mean, I think that one of the biggest things that you can do at the deadline, if you're a good team, is really improve and solidify your third line. And both Winnipeg and Pittsburgh made huge additions to their depth with third line adds at the deadline. So I give them a lot of credit for that.
The New York Rangers ended up amassing a lot of first round picks. They jettisoned a lot of talent, but you get to the point where it just makes more sense to start over and try to build a young core. It sounds like they're going to be pretty aggressive with those picks. Were you surprised at all to see the Rangers decide that they were going to take a big step back?
No, I mean, they put out an announcement before the trade deadline saying that they were going to blow it up and that they're entering a rebuilding phase. And, you know, to their credit, if you say that you're going to do that, you better follow through and you better get good value for what you're sending out of town. And I think that they were able to do that. So I think that you got to give them commitment for dedicating themselves to the rebuild and executing it pretty well.
Looking over to the Western Conference and being here in Minnesota, we're keeping an eye on the Wild as much as we can. The Wild are in a bit of a weird spot, though. They really don't have the flexibility to do much, and they ended up trading Mike Riley just for the sake of being able to call up players. But even weirder, I think, is where the Chicago Blackhawks are at, and they've really hit a free fall here, and shows that once your top talent starts to decline and you lock them up to these long-term deals, you really don't have the flexibility to do much, and as a result, they're kind of starting to pay the price for that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this league isn't built for sustainability or longevity in terms of success. The Blackhawks are kind of an outlier in that sense, but now it's starting to catch up with them. You know, I did think that it was a win for them to get a first round pick for Ryan Hartman at the deadline. So credit there, but this season certainly hasn't gone to plan for them.
I'm not sure how much of a chance you've had to watch the Wild. throughout the year. I'm sure as a fan of the NHL, you've had a chance here and there. But the Wild in a position where they could make the playoffs at 36-20-7. Do you like their chances to be able to stick with the top teams in the West?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that they have they're solid all around, you know, I've been a fan of theirs for a little while in terms of how that roster is constructed, and you know their ability to retain guys, and so you know, I think that I'm rooting for them to make the playoffs this year, and I think that they need to get over the hump before I'm willing to commit anything more than that. So
okay, well, I'll take it that you're rooting for them. I'll consider that a win. Pete, looking at some of the other things going on here throughout the NHL, Boston, the Bruins doing very well. They're third in the Atlantic Division. As we move towards the end of the regular season, what are Boston's chances to be able to contend with some of those top Eastern Conference teams?
Yeah, I think they're good. I think they improved at the deadline. I really like the Rick Nash deal. They gave up a pretty hefty package, but I like the ad, and I think that they're still ahead of schedule in terms of their rebuild. This is going to be a tough test for them in the coming weeks because Patrice Bergeron's out of the lineup, and obviously their top line has been one of the most dominant in hockey and has been a huge contributor to their success. So losing Patrice Bergeron is going to be a really tough test for this team. And seeing, you know, if they can maintain without him. So I do like their chances of making some noise, but there are a lot of things that are going to go into it. They're going to need the young kids to keep playing well. They're going to need Tuukka Rask to play well, and that defense is going to need to hold up.
Pete, coming into the season, the Vegas Golden Knights thrown together as an expansion team, and I don't mean to say thrown together. They did get some pretty good players in the expansion draft, but did we expect them to be able to play this well this long, currently leading the Pacific Division, and they've got 87 points in the Western Conference, which is tied for the most. Did we expect them to be able to sustain this kind of success?
Absolutely not. I was waiting for it to fall off in the first half of the year. You know, I think that if they lost every game from here on out till the end of the season, they would still surpass my expectations. You know, 87 points is, you know, nothing to sneeze at, especially in your first year of existence. So, you know, they've been a complete shock. And, you know, I think that sort of plays into, you know, not to jump around to a different piece of news, but, you know, Seattle's expansion bid basically kicked off today with their season ticket sales, and you know they absolutely crushed it. They sold more than 25,000 deposits, and I think that you can give a little credit to the Golden Knights for that, because you know if you're Seattle, you look at you know the fact that a team is a contender in its very first year of existence. You know that's something they get excited about if you're a prospective city.
Yeah, you mentioned Seattle's expansion and just eye-popping numbers that they were able to get with their season ticket drive. In terms of this process, looks like they've already reached a deal with the city of Seattle to renovate Key Arena to try to turn it into a viable option for them to have a franchise. How close are we getting to the likelihood of this happening?
I think today was a huge, huge step. I mean, it's undeniable the interest that city has. You know, to compare for reference, I mean the Golden Knights took 2 months to sell 9,000 tickets, ticket deposits, and Seattle was able to do or surpass that and hit their goal of 10,000 in 12 minutes. So that's insane, and you know I think that it's going to be very hard. Obviously, the interest is mutual. The NHL wants Seattle. Seattle wants the NHL. It's almost seems foregone that's going to happen, and I think that it's going to be a good thing for the league.
Talking with Pete Blackburn of CBS Sports, and I wanted to make sure to talk a little Olympics here with you today, Pete, as well. The women's ice hockey team getting the gold medal against Canada here this year. And I know you did a write-up on CBSSports.com about just the rise that they've had to be able to get to this point. And certainly looking at it, what an incredible run for the women's hockey team to be able to come away with the gold medal.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at how this year kind of played out for that women's team, back in last spring, they were on the verge of boycotting a major international tournament in the in, you know, the World Championships because they were fighting for equitable support. And they, at that point, they were only making $6,000 every 4 years. They'd make a $1,000 stipend for a 6 month period during Olympic years. And, you know, they wanted fair and equitable support from USA Hockey at that time. And so they were willing to sit out the World Championships as the reigning gold medal winners there. And, you know, it came down to the wire and there was a little bit of pushback from USA Hockey, but they won that battle. And now I think that they're making they're making at least $70,000 a year now with bonuses for performance beyond that. So they got it done before the World Championships. They went on to win gold at the World Championships, and then, you know, fast forward to last week, they win gold at the Olympics, which was huge because it was the third straight gold medal game that they'd been in against Canada, and Canada had won the previous two. And, you know, there's a senior leadership group on this women's team, and they just hadn't been able to get it done no matter how close they got at the Olympic level. So it really felt like a really fitting exclamation point on a fantastic year for those women in their battle.
Not to be outdone, but a triumph for the men's curling team as well. And curling, I think the sport that is most likely to have people watching say, you know, if I gave it a week or two of practice, I could probably do that, which is far from the truth. It's incredibly difficult from what I've seen, but they were able to exercise some past demons and come away with the gold medal as well.
Yeah, I think that you're not far off in your assessment. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I could do that if you give me a year. but I think that, you know, that sport's so funny to me because not only the athletes, a lot of them look like, you know, everyman athletes. Like, you don't have to be in incredible shape to be a curler, or at least, you know, it doesn't look like you have to be in incredible shape to be a curler. But it's also one of those sports that you turn it on and you're like, what the heck is this? And you kind of laugh at it, and then 15 minutes later, you're completely enthralled, and you're 100% invested in curling, and you're ready to be a curling super fan. So it was definitely a weird experience for me to wake up on a Sunday morning and check my phone and just get videos from a bunch of my friends at the bar at like 2 a.m. With curling on every TV at the bar and everybody screaming USA. So I think that was up there with one of the coolest moments from this year's Olympics.
Pete, with you being in the Boston area and covering all the Boston sports, of course, wanted to talk a little Red Sox as well. And ever since David Ortiz went to Boston, I've kind of followed them as well. So J.D. Martinez, it didn't look like it was going to get done. Then it got done, but there were a little bit of hammering out the arrangements with the contract. But it looks like the Red Sox finally got the desperately needed bat for the middle of their lineup.
Yeah, they certainly did. And you know, I think that J.D. Martinez is going to make them a better, more dangerous team. But I also felt like the Red Sox were in a pretty good position, even if they didn't get that signing. I'm not as down on them as a lot of people seem to be after last year's finish. I mean, they still won the AL East. Of course, the Yankees made big time addition in Stanton over the winter. But, you know, a lot of guys on the Sox had down years last year. David Price was hurt for most of the year and came back out of the bullpen. So, you know, I still think that this team has a really good shot of making a World Series run. And I think that I probably would have had that same thought even if Martinez ended up, you know, going somewhere else. But I do think that he helps them for sure.
is there an over and over under you'd like to set on the number of times that Stanton and Judge will be walked this year to avoid having to pitch to them at Yankee Stadium?
Approximately 1 million.
I think that's pretty accurate. That combo is going to be ridiculous this year, but there are pitchers that that can certainly get them out. So we'll just have to wait and see the long 162 game schedule coming up here right around the beginning of April. So plenty of chance for people to figure out how to get those two out. And who knows? We could see the Yankees finish like fourth, and I would certainly be okay with that.
I, as much as it pains me to see the Yankees have any glimmer of hope, I do think it is good for baseball, and it's good for both these cities when there's the rivalry seems to be heating up, and there's intense competition between the two teams. It's been a while since like the early 2000s when that was really at its peak of hatred, but now we're getting back to that, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see if there's any sort of incidents like there have been in the past years with A-Rod trying to charge the mound and being held back by Jason Varitek, and those were some of the glory days of that rivalry. But I'm hopeful, like you are, that that will come back here within the next couple of seasons. Pete, I would be I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Listen to Brunch. I'm certainly a fan of the podcast, and just the way that you guys go about tackling some of the various things that happen throughout the world of entertainment. So just give me kind of a summary for the listeners here of what you guys attempt to do with Listen to Brunch.
We're very neurotic pop culture consumers, so we have a lot of fun over analyzing movies and TV and just having some fun with it. And we also, one of our big goals is kind of to smash down the wall of masculinity that kind of, especially because we're in sports, whereas like there's such a masculine culture that prevents people from really expressing how they feel about pop culture and other things like that. So we kind of just try to break that down and be true to ourselves as guys who just really don't take themselves too seriously. So it's a fun time. It gets weird, but it's fun.
Absolutely. Pete, before we let you go, if listeners are curious to find some of your work on CBS Sports, how can they do so?
You can just go to CBS Sports. Usually if you head to the NHL page, you'll see some of the stuff that I've written there. But I'm kind of all over the site in terms of content and what I cover. So if you just find something that I wrote and then click my name on the byline, you'll see it'll bring you to my author page and you can see the entire collection.
Outstanding. Pete, great stuff today. This was a lot of fun. We'll have to definitely do it again here in the near future.
Absolutely.
Pete Blackburn of CBS Sports joining the scoop here today to talk a little NHL trade deadline, also some great stuff on the Winter Olympics with the women's hockey team taking home the gold, and also the men's curling team taking home the gold. And of course, with him being in the Boston area, couldn't go without talking about the Red Sox a little bit as well. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the Gopher men's basketball season is over, and we will talk about it in just a bit here on The Scoop.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Redwood Valley Cardinal Athletics all season long. KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Back here on The Scoop, and it seems strange that a season could start off 8-1, get to 13-3 once Big Ten season started, and then finish 15-17, but that's where we're at as the Gophers lose in the opening round of the Big Ten tournament by a score of 65-54. Rutgers advances to take on Indiana, and they will be the second game of the day here today. Iowa taking on Michigan, and that is currently with about 2 minutes left to go. And Michigan leads 63-57. So the Gophers, again, have just had pretty much everything you could imagine happen so far this season. Also in Big Ten news, Wisconsin with the upset over Maryland, 59-54. Other games today, Northwestern and Penn State and Rutgers and Indiana. Back to the Gophers. They've had basically anything happen that you could possibly expect to go wrong here this year. It started off with Reggie Lynch being suspended and then expelled from the team. They also have had to play parts of the season without the likes of Amir Coffey, who ended up having season-ending surgery. They have missed the likes of Dupree McBrayer for a few games. And it just was a bunch of bad luck for this Gopher team, who, like I said, started off the year, they were white hot, 8-1 after a loss to number 10 Miami. They beat number 25 Alabama. But then Reggie Lynch was suspended. They lose to Nebraska 78-68, then to Arkansas 95-79. They're able to rattle off wins against Drake, Oral Roberts, Florida Atlantic, Harvard, and I beg your pardon, Lynch was suspended before the Illinois game. So they were 13-3 at that point, but then the wheels just completely fell off. A loss to Indiana 75-71, then Northwestern 83-60. They lost to number 5 Purdue 81-47. Were able to beat Penn State 95-84 in overtime, but then lost to Maryland, Ohio State, Northwestern, Iowa, Michigan, Nebraska, Indiana, Michigan State, Wisconsin. 9 losses in a row for the Gophers. They then beat Iowa 86-82 before losses to Purdue and then to Rutgers in the Big Ten tournament. So you go from a team at the beginning of the season that had very high hopes. It was expected that they would make a big jump after getting to the NCAA tournament last year. We thought, hey, they might be able to make a little noise in the tournament this season. They will probably, I don't know. I know there's a tournament underneath the NIT. I don't know what it's called, but I don't know if they would even get an invite to that tournament. But I would say if they did get an invite, they probably would not accept it. So just a frustrating season for the Gophers, and it's frustrating as well because you've got a player the likes of Nate Mason, who will finish his Gopher career with not a whole lot in terms of success to show for it. 2 years ago, they were 8-24. Last year, they went 24-9. Then this year, 15-17. But you look at what Mason did throughout his Gopher career. Did start as a freshman, averaged just under 10 points per game, bumped it up to 13 his sophomore year, 15 last year, and 16.7 points per game this year, with a good three-point shooting percentage, right around 36% for his career. So Mason is going to be a big loss for this Gopher team, and one that they will certainly have to try to fill. Now they will get Jordan Murphy back next year, at least the way it looks. We'll see if he ends up electing to maybe go pro after A season in which he scored 16.8 points and grabbed 11.3 rebounds per game and shot 52% from the field. So tremendous work for Jordan Murphy, who was a double-double machine all season, even after the Gophers lost Reggie Lynch. Now, it got a little tougher for him to do that without Lynch assisting him down low, but still able to put up some really, really good numbers all throughout the season. So he could theoretically be back next year, but we'll see in that regard. Looking at who else will be back, Amir Coffey will be back after undergoing surgery to end his season. He should be back and ready to roll next year for his junior season. One player that the Gophers are really excited about, and he showed some flashes this year, including in the loss to Rutgers, which he scored 18 points. That is Isaiah Washington, who averaged 8.7 points per game as a freshman, shot 36% from the field, and did some good things. Like I said, he had 18 points against Michigan State back on the 13th, so Washington will be a player that they are able to build around. They will also likely have Dupree McBrayer back, who could be a big piece as well. So the Gophers, they're losing Mason, but they are going to be a very talented team yet again. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see the Gophers rebound heading into next season. But as we always talk about, the Big Ten is very, very difficult, so they're going to have to really be on their game to be able to knock off some of these top teams in the Big Ten. And speaking of the Big Ten tournament going on right now, as mentioned, and Michigan has a small lead over Iowa by a score of 67-64 with 27 seconds left to go. Wisconsin with an upset over Maryland. So Wisconsin will advance. Northwestern takes on Penn State, Rutgers, and Indiana later on tonight. So an automatic berth into the NCAA tournament is on the line for whoever wins the Big Ten tournament. So we'll see who ends up coming out of the Big Ten and stamping their ticket to the the NCAA tournaments. Big ticket, big dance. A lot of verbiage to use here for the NCAA. Now, something else interesting that has happened with the NCAA recently, and actually today, Arizona men's basketball coach Sean Miller today vehemently denied the ESPN report that he was involved in a discussion to pay a potential recruit. Miller said in his first public comments since the report that he never knowingly violated NCAA rules, and he said he has never paid a recruit. Quote, "I never have, and I never will. I also understand that there is an ongoing federal investigation, and because of this, I cannot do anything that might compromise the integrity of this investigation," Miller said. "However, on this point, I cannot remain silent in light of media reports that have impugned me, the reputation of me, the university, and sullied the name of a tremendous young man, DeAndre Ayton." This coming from the report earlier in which ESPN reported that Miller was recorded via wiretap talking about payments that would be paid to a top recruit in order to land him at Arizona. So this is going to continue to unravel, but I found it interesting that Miller has elected to respond to those allegations, and we'll see what that ends up entailing for his future with Arizona here for not only the rest of the regular season, but the rest of the postseason as well. That is, I think, plenty on NCAA men's basketball. When we come back, we'll take a little bit of a look at the Timberwolves matching up against the Portland Trailblazers. That is coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Miss today's episode of The Scoop? Find each and every episode on myklgr.com under the Sports tab.
Back here on The Scoop, the Timberwolves in action tonight against the Portland Trailblazers, and this starts what will be a very difficult stretch for the Timberwolves. Looking at how Portland has done recently, they have won 6 out of their last 7 games. Coming off of a 3-game losing streak. They beat the Hornets 109-103, the Kings 118-100. Hey, that score sounds familiar. That's because that's what the Timberwolves beat the Kings by the other night. The Trailblazers then lost to the Jazz 115-96. They beat Golden State 123-117. They beat the Jazz 100-81, the Suns 106-104, and the Kings again 116-99. Now, first name you think of when you think of the Portland Trailblazers is Damian Lillard. And looking at Lillard this season, averaging 26 points per game, and in the month of February, he has really been heating up, averaging 31 points per game throughout the course of the month, shooting 48% from the field, 35% from three. And that includes a couple of very high-scoring games. He had 50 points in the game against Sacramento, 44 points in the win against Golden State, 40 points in the win against Phoenix, and 26 points, 12 assists in the Trailblazers' most recent win against the Kings, 116-99. Now, the other thing that jumps out at me as well is that he really is not coming out of the game whatsoever. Now, this is absurd. In the game in which he scored 50 points, he did that in 29 minutes, which is pretty pretty mind-blowing that he was able to do that in just 29 minutes of play. But you look at his minute totals, 34 minutes against the Kings, 39 minutes against Phoenix, 37 minutes against the Jazz, 40 minutes against Golden State, and 39 minutes against the Jazz back on the 11th. Now, looking at that most recent loss for the Trailblazers, looking at what Utah was able to do in order to beat the Trailblazers, well, they shot 13 of 26 from three. That certainly helps. Donovan Mitchell had 27 points, and they out-rebounded Portland 58-37. So a lot of rebounds. Derek Favors had 11. Royce O'Neal finished with 11. Rudy Gobert had 11. And then that was also without the likes of Ricky Rubio, who it appears was rested in that game. So for the Trailblazers, it looks like the key to winning there, and this is pretty basic stuff, but the key for them to the loss was they got out-rebounded, and Utah shot the lights out from beyond the line. So you look at the matchup here tonight, and the Timberwolves will have to take advantage of a couple of potential mismatches. Jusuf Nurkić is the starting center for the Trailblazers, averaging 14 points per game, 8 rebounds per game. And he has not played particularly well against the Timberwolves. So Karl-Anthony Towns is going to need to get some things done against Nurkić to help the Twins win. The Timberwolves win, not the Twins. Al-Farouq Aminu, the starting power forward for the Trailblazers. And he is more of a defensive help than an offensive one, averaging just 9.6 points per game on the season, shooting 40% from the field. He does shoot threes very well, so that is going to be a little bit of a matchup problem for Taj, unless he is able to defend well on the perimeter. And then, of course, the backcourt of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. McCollum averaging 21 points per game, shooting 41% from three, although he's one for his last 10 from beyond the arc, averaging 21 points per game over his last five. And he's averaging just under 20 points per game so far in the month of February, shooting 41% from the field. So struggling a little bit, and a chance for the Wolves to match up with him well. But it's going to be a tough one for the Wolves, especially with how they have played on the road this season. But I think it's one that they could get. And if they do win it, that goes a long way towards them being able to solidify their standings in the West. So that is a look at tonight's game. A late one again, as things don't tip off till 9:30. We're going to take a final break. We'll take a look at what's on deck. That's on the way after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Play-by-play, schedules, and more, visit myklgr.com.
Let's take a look at what's on deck for tonight's NBA basketball. The Los Angeles Lakers at Miami at 6:30. Philadelphia at Cleveland at 7. Brooklyn at Sacramento at 9 o'clock. And the Timberwolves at Portland's 9:30 tip-off here tonight. Big Ten tournament results and scores. Wisconsin beating Maryland earlier today 59-54. In overtime, Michigan with a 74-70 lead over Iowa, 1:11 left to go in overtime. Later today, Northwestern and Penn State, 5:30 tip, and Rutgers against Indiana, that's a 7:55 tip-off here tonight. NHL schedule this evening, Pittsburgh at Boston, Carolina at Philadelphia at 7 Eastern, New Jersey at Florida at 7:30 Eastern, Tampa Bay at Dallas at 8:30 Eastern, Nashville at Edmonton, Minnesota Wild at Arizona tonight at 9 Eastern, Columbus at Los Angeles, and Chicago at San Jose at 10 Eastern. That is a look at what's on deck here for tonight. Time to wrap it up. That does it for today's edition of The Scoop. Big thank you to Pete Blackburn for hopping on today to talk a little NHL. We'll have Dan Slabaugh on the show tomorrow. We'll recap everything going on this week. That's all next tomorrow at 3:05 here on The Scoop.
KLGR 1490 AM and 95.9 FM is radio you can depend on. KLGR Redwood Falls, K240 DJ Redwood Falls. Streaming online at myklgr.com and the TuneIn Radio app.